Thanks to Keith and Mark for leading us in those readings. And my pleasure to ask our own brother John Wayne to give us words of exhortation to prepare us for the partaking of the bread and wine. Brother John, please.
Thanks, Kevin. Dear brethren and sisters, we are currently reading through the third of three books attributed to King Solomon, those being Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and currently the Song of Solomon. Now, I've looked at a couple of books, and I've looked at a few internet sites, but really, I'm none the wiser regarding their chronology. Now, the Proverbs is a book devoted to instruction in righteousness. It speaks in depth of the wisdom of God and contrasts this with the foolishness of man's wisdom. Proverbs speaks of wisdom and folly in the feminine, the wisdom of God is described as the honourable woman, to be sought after, to be desired. And of course, the wisdom of the world is the opposite. It's the strange woman that is to be avoided at all costs. Well, for us, brethren and sisters, there is nothing in this world which can compare with the wisdom which is from above. Now, towards the end of the book, the emphasis is placed upon the prudent wife, who is described as a virtuous woman, who always desires the things of her Lord. And again, she is a complete opposite to the strange woman of the world, who is always trying to tempt and lead astray those brethren and sisters who would be heirs of the kingdom of God. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes perfectly adds to the Proverbs. Its title embodies the Greek word ecclesia, which we know very well, don't we? It's those who aspire to be heirs of the kingdom. And it has the subtitle of the preacher. Ecclesiastes is devoted to the calling out of men and women from the vanity of the world. And like the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes is directed to the son of Solomon, the king elect. And the advice for us, brethren and sisters, is to shun the things of the flesh, recognizing them to be, in the words of Ecclesiastes, vanity and vexation of spirit. Or as some commentaries say, it's a grasping for the wind, which is quite appropriate, really, because if you've ever tried grasping for the wind, you'll know that it's a complete waste of time. Well, Ecclesiastes speaks in detail about death, but it's written, well, I suppose like all the scriptures, it's written for those who believe and have faith in God and in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so death in Christ, for the believer, is just merely a sleep to be awakened at the resurrection when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. The wisdom of God and the foolishness of the flesh, like Proverbs, are a key feature in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, I have a theory, rightly or wrongly, probably wrongly in my case, but I like to think that Proverbs came first in this trilogy and Ecclesiastes last. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, perhaps I'll explain just a little bit. It's Proverbs chapter 1 and verse, we're looking at verse 7, but It's really the preamble before that. Verses 1 to 6 are really a preamble. He's laying down exactly what's required. And so he says in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. He says, a wise man will hear. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. It says, a wise man will hear and will receive increased learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. I believe that to be the preamble. And so for me, the real beginning is verse 7. And it's the instruction for all of us. It says there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I don't actually like the word fear. I much prefer the word reverence. I think it's the reverence of the Lord. We reverence the Lord God. And so the reverence of God is the beginning of understanding. And our understanding of God comes, as Solomon has said, knowing the word, perceiving that word, receiving that instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That gives us a knowledge. And that is where our knowledge begins. It begins in our reverence of God and of his word. Well, if you turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes in the last chapter, the chapter 12, here's where my theory comes back again. This, I believe, is the conclusion, where he says in verse 13 of chapter 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, or reverence God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And again, it's similar, isn't it? Starts with the reverence of God and the keeping of his word, and it finishes again with the reverence of the Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the only true and living God, the God of Israel, our Heavenly Father, and with the keeping of his commandments. Well, if I'm right, somewhere in the middle is perhaps the Song of Solomon. And it was possibly written around the time that Solomon dedicated the temple of the Lord, which was in Jerusalem. We know, don't we, from the scriptures that the temple of the Lord was 7 years in building, and it was approximately the 11th year of the reign of Solomon. So for the first 11 years there, I believe Solomon was writing and laying down all the proverbs. From a young man, he learned these proverbs. He was given this instruction from God. And then by the time the temple was finished, with all this knowledge, wisdom, and instruction, Solomon was given the poetic license to write the Song of Solomon. And the Song of Solomon combines, I believe, the teaching of both of the Proverbs and of the book of Ecclesiastes. It brings together those who are in the days of their probation are the elect. And they, brethren and sisters, are united together. Elsewhere in scripture, don't we? We read as having one mind, one purpose, one accord. Well, this elect are united together as the bride of Christ. And hopefully, brethren and sisters, we are part of that multitudinous bride to be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ at his return. For the remainder of the word of exhortation, we're going to use this analogy of the bride and the bridegroom. And yet, interestingly enough, I don't know if you're using what version of the Bible you're using, but if you're using the AV, the words bride and bridegroom do not appear anywhere in the Song of Solomon. The bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, is described as the beloved, and the elect, the bride, is described as the fair one. Well, the book reveals the yearning of the bride, the elect, the ecclesia, the fair one, for her bridegroom, her beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, to appear. And do we not, brethren and sisters, yearn now for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we've been in this this pandemic for now about a year and a half, haven't we? 18 months, approaching 18 months. And we often hear in the news in this country, there's often talk about getting back to normal, whatever that may be. Probably for the country, it's partying or going out for the pleasures of this life. But we do mention it, don't we, in our ecclesia, is a desire to get back to the hall. And I can fully understand that and totally agree with it. But I keep thinking to myself, this is it. The world is in total turmoil now. This is it. Now, Lord, come now. Don't delay. Don't wait any longer. Come now. But I know that we have to wait patiently and faithfully as the time draws to a close. Well, as we said, the Song of Solomon details the intense love that is reciprocated between the two. The love of the bridegroom Christ, the beloved, for the love of his bride, the elect, the ecclesia, us brethren and sisters. And in turn, it's the love of the bride, the elect, us, for the bridegroom, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the beloved. It's a two-way thing. And this bride, she was always longing for his appearing. Are we longing for the appearing of the Lord Jesus, brethren and sisters? But if you turn to the Song of Solomon and the first chapter, we read there in the 15th verse of that first chapter. And this is the beloved speaking. He says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Now, it's Christ speaking to his elect. Why does Christ say, or why does the beloved say of his elect that she has dove's eyes? Well, it's because a dove has singular vision. In other words, it's only able to focus on one thing at a time. Is our focus, brethren and sisters, solely on the Lord Jesus Christ? Solely on his teaching? Solely on his example? And solely on his character? In chapter 4, and verse 1, we're going to read very similar words, actually. Chapter 4 of the song and verse 1 says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Again, and speaking of dove's eyes, there's no distraction. This fair one is focused, not distracting at all. She is focused on her beloved. But the emphasis here and in the previous verse that we looked at is on the words, "Thou art fair." Now, this phrase is repeated time and time again through the Song of Solomon. It's in chapter 1. We looked at verse 15, where it's spoken of twice. It's in verse 16. It's in chapter 2, verses 10 and 13. Chapter 4. It's in four verses in chapter 4. It's in chapter 5. And it's in the one we read this morning in chapter 6. Now, why is this bride so fair? Well, it's because she has been very careful with her preparation. So the important thing, brethren and sisters, in the Song of Solomon is that preparation of the bride. How is our preparation going? How's my preparation going? How's your preparation going? Since our baptisms, which may be anything between, well, perhaps a couple of weeks to 40, 50, or even over 60 years, have we changed at all from when we were first baptized? Is there anything, brethren and sisters, about us that the bridegroom, the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ desires? We'll look at chapter 4 again and verse 7. We read there, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee." Well, there is no spot or blemish in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did no sin, and there was no guile or deceit found in his mouth. But this here is a description of the bride. How beautiful that bride is. There is, as the beloved says, no spot in her. If you will, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. As we read in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10, we read there, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" That's the question. In verse 11, we're told that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Our trust, brethren and sisters, is firmly in our Heavenly Father to fulfill all those great and precious promises that he has made. And our trust is firmly in his Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is his trust in us justified to do the right thing? Is his trust in us justified to say the right thing? And is his trust in us justified to even think the right thing? You know, I am always amazed when I read the book of Ruth, and I get amazed at Boaz's description of Ruth. If you'd like to turn to chapter 3 of the book of Ruth, it's just in the 11th verse. It's Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11. And this is Boaz speaking to Ruth. And he says, verse 11, "Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." It, the whole city, brethren, sisters, it's not just Boaz. Boaz is saying it, but it's not just Boaz who knows it. The whole city knew Ruth's way of life, knew Ruth's character. It was evident from the way she conducted herself. What of us, brethren and sisters? What character are we known by? What character do, say, our friends and neighbours know us by? What character do our brethren and sisters know us by? What character do we know ourselves by? Well, back in the Song of Solomon, then the 7th chapter, and the 10th verse, we read there, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. What wonderful words these are, brethren and sisters. These are words which indicate to me that this bride is fully prepared, and that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, she will be able to rejoice with her husband, with her beloved, with our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are not there yet, brethren and sisters. There is still work for each one of us to do in our probationary walk. Remember, there are clear warnings, aren't there, in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ said, didn't he, in one of his parables, that at a marriage feast, there was a man who didn't have on a wedding garment. He wasn't properly prepared, and he was thrust out. So it's important that we take very seriously our life in the truth as part of the bride of Christ. Christ is already fully prepared and glorified, and he is now waiting for his bride, his elect, the ecclesia, to complete her preparation. Well, as we now come to take the emblems of bread and wine, we must, brethren and sisters, we must change to become more like our Lord Jesus Christ, so that the divine assessment of that multitude of men and women which comprise the bride of Christ, hopefully, brethren and sisters, that will be us, will have those words spoken to us. Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. Well, we'll just finish from, again, Song of Solomon. This time it is the 2nd chapter and the 10th verse. And hopefully the Lord will say these words to us. He says there, verse 10, my beloved spake. Let's hope he says to us, welcome thou into the kingdom of thy Lord. Verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.